Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him radio show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and the title of my message today is How to Praise Him in the Storms of Your Life. This week when I was in prayer, I was wondering what to talk about for a podcast. I was thinking about the fact that everything that the Lord has been speaking to me and showing me indicates that war is coming. I've been pressing in and asking for more detail, but I don't have any more than what I've released so far. And it occurred to me that the only way to get through something so terrible is to praise God through it. And I could not remember if I had ever shared with you how you praise God through the storms of your life. I know I've told y'all about doing that and that we need to do it, but I don't know if I ever told you how to do it. And I don't believe any message is complete unless you teach the practical application of the word you just taught on. So that is what we're going to talk about today. Going through hard times and facing overwhelming odds is known to all ages, but the time we are living in is guaranteed to be like none before it in terms of suffering. Satan is literally coming down to earth, and if we think we live in evil times now, that time will be far, far worse. Evil we never even imagine will be before our eyes, in our streets, and happening to the people that we love, and happening to us. We can't always know why suffering happens. Sometimes much later we're shown or told, but sometimes we suffer simply because evil is in this world. We live in a fallen world. In these end times, I believe much of the suffering will be simply because Satan has come down to the earth and he has great wrath because he knows he has but a short time. Like the Bible says, he hates us. He hates everyone that we love and everything that we love, and he wants to destroy us completely in the most painful possible way. Philippians 4:12 and 13. This is not the King James Version. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. In Psalm 22 says, God inhabits the praises of his people. And Jesus said that he's there wherever two or more are gathered in his name. That's Matthew 18:20. Those two verses alone are reason enough to praise him no matter what else is happening, aren't they? Because these two verses tell us, if you want to bring God into your situation, this is how you do it. That's what it's saying. You praise him. And you especially get together with other people and praise him, where two or more are gathered. The Bible assures us that we will go through suffering. Some people think that once you become a Christian, nothing bad ever happens to you again. That is absolutely 100% false. You never go through anything bad alone again because you have Jesus now, but bad things do happen all the time. 2 Timothy 2 says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. That's good news, isn't it? We may get bound, we may get thrown into prison for what we believe, but the word of God is free no matter what. They can't bind that up. The devil can't stop that. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Romans 8:18. That's good news too. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Whatever trials you're going through, they will work some patience out in you, let me tell you. And patience works experience, and experience hope. So it's telling you how that progresses. You go through hard stuff, you develop patience. Patience, you get experience. And with experience, you get hope. You learn that there is hope in every situation. That's in Romans 5. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. What is the temptation here? The temptation is to grumble and complain, not to praise. The temptation is to fear, not have faith. When we're facing a hard situation, when terrible things are happening, when our whole life is falling apart, we want to complain, first of all, because we're upset and we want to tell people we're upset instead of praising. And we're afraid. It will make you afraid unless you have a really strong faith, because that fear will rise up in you right away unless your faith is just rock hard. The temptation is to give up, not endure to the end. So what do you think it's going to be like in these end times as it gets worse and worse? But there is a verse or a promise in the Bible to address every situation, I'm telling you. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus is telling us, you know, yeah, you're going to go through trials in the world, but I already overcame all that, and after the world you get me. Here's another really beautiful promise. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flames shall not consume you. That is Isaiah 43:2. This is a promise to remember, and remember well, because it will comfort you in times when you are passing through the waters, or when you might be required to walk through fire, like the three Hebrew men that Nebuchadnezzar had thrown into the fiery furnace. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. That's the English Standard Version. This is one of the things our mouths were created for, praising the Lord. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This is my number one favorite fear-busting scripture. You know, James chapter 1 says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. I can tell you that I wasn't joyful when I was going through trials. When I was going through the wilderness, I felt anything but joyful about them. I think the only way to count it all joy is to remember that there are rewards for every test that we pass. And after all the struggles of this life, we have heaven to look forward to, which will be like a permanent vacation in the most beautiful place you can imagine, with all the people you love right there. Can't beat that. When we feel weak, we can recite these promises back to the Lord. You know, there's in 2 Corinthians 12, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. So when we feel weak, we can say, the Lord has promised me his strength is made perfect in my weakness, so his power rests upon me right now. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Sometimes the greatest test is just to be still and let him work. There's a woman listening to this podcast right now, and the Lord says a man has just done you really, really wrong. Real bad. He has cost you property. He's cost you your reputation. He's done something really, really bad to you. And you are gearing up to really go after him and take revenge. And the Lord said, woman of God, be still and know that I am God. And what he wants you to do, hon, is he wants you to go down on your face before him and give this whole battle to him. The Lord is showing me he has got a plan. Ooh, I can feel the Holy Ghost. He has got a plan. He is going to serve that man back. He's going to serve right back to that man what he just did to you. And you're going to know it. You're going to know what happened. You're going to know every detail. If you will just be still and know that he is God, and if you will release that situation to him, he's going to take care of that. Vengeance is his, daughter of the Most High. Vengeance is his. He saw what happened. He saw what that man did to you. He saw what he took from you. He saw how wrong it was and how faithful you have been. Give it to him. And he said, if you will, he will give you back double for your trouble, just like he did Job. Remember that what may be God's goodness to us, to some other people may look like a curse. I have a friend that thinks when the Lord led me into the wilderness over and over again, he was too hard on me. No, He was hard on my faith, and now my faith is rock hard. Because he loved me enough to take me back through the wilderness, and no matter how much I cried out, and it made my faith tough as nails. There's not a lot that can come. I'm not saying there's nothing. There are things that can come against my faith that would shake me up pretty bad. But most of the time, what comes against me, my faith will stand up to, and I can get through it with that faith. If I ever need more faith, I'm sure God will give it to me. Or he'll take me through something where I'll develop it, right? Praising in the storm is something you need to learn to do, even when what is happening is wrecking you. In 2006, the year of tears, I went through something that was so heart-wrenching. I cried. That's why I call that the year of tears, because I cried so much that year. It was something that happened in our family. And one of the songs that I used to worship to was "I'll Praise You in the Storm" by Casting Crowns. I love that song. It's one of my favorite Christian songs of all time. And that song helped me get through it because it reminded me every time I sang it why I need to praise him no matter what's happening. And no matter if my prayer to get through that for him to do something different in the end was not answered, he's still God. Okay? Let me explain. I want you to imagine. I want you to look at your life and imagine what is the worst thing that could happen to you. The worst thing that would be the hardest for you to get through. You just lost the person, the thing, or the place, or the relationship that means the most to you in all the world. It's gone. And there is nothing you can do about it. Nothing. It's just gone. Right? And it's just gone. I just want you to imagine this. We cannot always control what happens to us, but we can always choose what our attitude about it will be. Okay? So now you, as a child of God, are faced with a choice. And that choice is, how will you react to this loss? That is it's like your worst fear. You know, like Job said, the thing I feared the most has come upon me. Okay, what if your worst fear happened? What if Satan came down to earth and he knew your worst fear and he made that happen? What if that happened? And what if you prayed against it and your prayers were not answered for whatever reason that we don't know? What if? What are you going to do? Are you going to turn back on God? As you are facing this choice, let's say this is happening, and you're facing this choice, Satan shows up and he whispers in your ear, God, let this happen. Why did he not save you from this pain? Why did he not save that person, that object, or that place, knowing it meant that much to you? What kind of a God does that? That's the kind of stuff he says to you when that's going on. Y'all know that. You are in so much pain, you can hardly breathe. What will you choose for your attitude? How bad would a major loss shake your faith right now? How bad will it shake it in what's coming when everything is falling apart all around us, when everything that we know changes? Will it destroy your faith and cause you to turn your back on God? Will you get angry at him and shout at him and say, well, I'm just not going to serve you anymore? Well, if you say that to him, do you realize you're not hurting him, you're hurting you? I just want you to think about that for a minute. I want you to think about it now when you're not emotional, not later. I want you to think about it now. I'm trying to prepare y'all for what he has shown me is coming. I'm trying to help you. I know it's not pleasant to think about these things, but we need to think about them. If your loved one is dying, I knew a woman I knew of her in Dallas, who went to the hospital for tests on her stomach, and she was so eaten up with cancer inside that all they could do when they did exploratory surgery was close her up. She died in 2 weeks, y'all. You don't always get a lot of warning when stuff happens, okay? And she was the guardian over two of her grandchildren. She was raising two of her grandchildren because I guess the son was worthless and wasn't taking care of him himself. Or I don't know where the mom was, but she was working two jobs. She was an older woman like me. She was working two jobs trying to take care of two grandkids, and she was all eaten up inside. I can't imagine how bad she felt every day. She was probably relieved when they said, yeah, your trip's about over. I mean, honestly, who would want to stick around for more of a life like that? I'm just saying. Okay, so you are in so much pain, you can hardly even breathe. Maybe the person that you love most just got a diagnosis like that. And maybe they only have 2 weeks or 2 months. or a year, and you have no idea how you will even breathe if something happens to them. All right, you got to make a choice. You have to make a choice. What are you going to do? Are you going to believe that God is still God and he's still good in the face of just unimaginable pain? Would you abandon your faith and go back into the world because your path became too difficult because God didn't answer your prayer? He didn't do what you wanted, so are you going to turn your back on it? He's not an ATM machine for you anymore to just pop in a prayer and get out the answer you want, so you're just going to, you don't want him? He can't be your God now? Let's remember, too, that in what is coming, everybody is going to suffer loss. We will all lose our way of life, our freedoms, our peace. We will lose our ability to worship the Lord freely and openly. And when the famine hits, there's going to be almost nothing to eat, if anything at all. When you stand facing a choice like this, y'all, I have faced those raging seas. Ray Bolts had a song in part of the words where, when I face the raging seas, I cry every time I sing that song because I've faced those seas and I know what that place feels like. I know what that place feels like. And it happened years ago when I was first saved, and it was one of the hardest things I ever walked through in my life. And I would not wish it on my worst enemy. We are going to face those kind of things in what is coming. Possibly again and again and again. You know, war could hit. It could hit your country. It could hit, I think it will hit American soil. You know, and your family may go to the store and nobody come back. You know, you may send everybody to the store. They may all run off to the store and no one comes back because, you know, they got shot. I mean, come on. That's the reality when there's war where you live. Or they break into your house and kill everybody right in front of you. I don't know what all they do, but I know it's not good. When you stand facing loss like that, in a split second, you will choose which way you're going to go. You will either choose to complain and gripe and get angry at God, or you will say, okay, he's still God. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't know how I'm going to live without that person. But right now, my job is to breathe and to praise. Sometimes all you can do when the pain is that great is breathe. Through the next minute, just breathe. Just try to take that next breath. And don't try to figure things out when that's happening. That's when you hand it to God and say, Lord, I have no idea what to do with this. That's what I did when that one loss happened to me. I said, Lord, I don't have any idea how to handle this. So I'm just going to hand it to you and I'm just going to follow wherever you guide me because I don't know what to do. When we stand facing a choice like that, it's hard. We are programmed to do something, to try to fix whatever's wrong. And we can't always fix what's wrong, can we? If somebody we love just died or took their own life or got killed, maybe they just, you know, drove past your house and shot your teenage son through the window and he's laying dead bleeding on your living room. I mean, this happens to people all the time, y'all. This is not unheard of. We cannot always fix it. Praising him in the storm goes against our human nature. When everything is falling apart, when we are in pain, we are more likely to want to scream our pain out, not praise. After I came out of the coma from when I had the stroke, when they put me in the back of the ambulance, I think I blacked out again. And they told me it was days later. When I woke up, my family from Oklahoma was there. And it was daytime in the morning. So I was out for at least a day, but I don't know how long. Somebody said several days, but I don't know. But when I woke up, praise was so far from my mind, I can't even tell you. I felt a whole lot of things, but praising was not one of them. Can I just tell you that? My whole body felt horrible. When you have a brain injury, it affects everything in your body. And my body felt a lot like your body feels when it has the flu, except I didn't have the nausea. It just felt, you know, just felt bad. I had never experienced a major health event before, and honestly, I was afraid because I couldn't move normally. My left side was paralyzed. I couldn't move. I couldn't eat by myself. I couldn't do anything by myself at first for a while, and I didn't know what was going to happen. I had always, you know, been able to take care of myself, work, do whatever, and I couldn't do any of that stuff then. I felt like doing anything but praising. And at first, you know, I mean, I've got a room full of family and stuff like that, so I didn't think about a lot. One day, when everybody was gone out of the room, that's when I talked to the Lord and I said, "Lord, you know, I don't know why this stroke happened, but I know there had to be a reason. And I'm asking you to show me at some point and help me have understanding, because if it was something I did, I need to know. Or if it was, you know, the way I eat or, you know, something," because I didn't really understand what caused hemorrhagic strokes. And I said, "I don't know why it happened. And I don't feel any joy in doing this, but I praise you for the stroke and I'm believing you to bring something good out of it." And I said that with absolutely no joy whatsoever. But let me just tell you, he did bring good stuff out of it. He did bring some good stuff out of it. And he told me later, because I kept just begging him, "Lord, please tell me I'm going to be able to do my," you know, because I was terrified that I was not going to be able to do the ministry work. That was my, well, it was my job then. It had become my job. And I didn't know, my voice was too weak to record right at first. People could barely hear me when I could speak. They were actually shocked I could still speak and I could still write because of where the stroke hit. And they were not able to operate and repair it because it was too deep. And if they had, they would have turned me into basically a vegetable. So thank God they didn't try. But I kept begging the Lord about that. And he spoke to me one day and he said, "I'm going to restore you to 100% function plus a bonus because you praised me." And I was like, "Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb of God." So it's really important that you praise him. But I didn't expect a bonus. I was just kind of hoping to get through all that, you know? So praising him goes against human nature. My human nature was to cry. I promise you, it was to cry for a long time after the stroke because so much changed. But I wasn't even allowed to cry because they told me I couldn't cry. I couldn't have any kind of congestion that affected my head whatsoever because it increases intracranial pressure and it could cause the bleed to start back up. So I couldn't cry. I was like, "Lord, you know, this is just wrong on so many levels because I really need to get on my face and cry." But I didn't. I just waited. Couldn't bend over, couldn't do all that. Praising God in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the pain, shows him you trust him and it pleases him. Praising God in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the storm, shows him that you trust him over the circumstances that your eyes are looking at. That is walking by faith and not by sight. How do you think Job felt when he was told all his kids had died? He was so worried about his kids all the day. He was always doing sacrifices for them just in case there was any sin on them, you know. He wanted to be sure they were covered. And all of his servants, but one, the person who came and told him about his kids was the last servant. He said, "I alone am left alive, you know, and I've come to tell you." How do you think Jehoshaphat felt when he faced an army that, if I remember right, was like, he was outnumbered like 4 to 1, I think, if I remember right. I couldn't find the numbers. How do you think King David felt when the baby that he and Bathsheba had just had died and he got word? He was fasting on his face, praying, you know, beseeching God for the child to live. But as soon as he was told the baby died, he got up, he washed himself, he dressed, and he went to eat. And they were like, why is he doing that?" And he said, "Well, you know, there's the baby's gone. There's no use to keep asking for the baby to live. The baby's gone." But he's still God. Job, when he was told that all his kids had died, praised God. He worshiped God. "Blessed be the name of the Lord who gives and takes away," you know. Job said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gives and the Lord is taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." He was saying, he's still my God, no matter what. And Job loved his children. And David worshiped even after being told that his firstborn son with Bathsheba, the love of his life, obviously, had died. He worshiped too. Maybe King David had enough presence of mind to thinking, hey, he could have taken Bathsheba too, not just the baby, you know. And maybe, who knows, we'll find out when we get to heaven. Maybe Job trusted God enough to think, well, maybe he took them while they could still get into heaven. We don't know. Or maybe he saw something terrible they were going to suffer that was going to make them doubt God further up the road of their lives, and he spared them from that. Okay, so I'm going to tell you kind of what I do when I hit a storm, when I go through something really hard or really painful, I have just a couple of things that I always do every time. This is my routine, how I handle tragic stuff. The first thing I always do is I hit my knees and I cry out to God. Always. I pour out my heart and weep before the Lord about the situation. Lord, help me get through this. I need wisdom for this. I need clarity. Please give me understanding, that sort of thing. And you know, the Bible says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, that's asking for what you need, with thanksgiving, so being thankful and praising, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's Philippians 4, 6, and 7. The second thing I always do is praise, even if I can just barely spit it out, like during the stroke. Even if I can only offer one unemotional sentence to comply and be obedient, I will still speak it, even if it is completely without faith or joy at all. Because just the act of speaking it, the obedience of it, is enough to set this spiritual law into action. And that law is, if you will just obey and praise Him, no matter what, He will bless you in ways you cannot even imagine as you are watching those waves rage around you and listening to the howling winds that threaten to overwhelm your life. Can I just tell you that? And I always try to remember that one line from the song, by casting crowns, praise Him in the storm. For you are who you are, no matter where I am. He is who He is, no matter where we are, y'all. And that's what we have to remember. He is still God. Praise Him for somehow bringing good out of what is happening. Praise Him for being in control, no matter what. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28. Another thing that I found will help, and I had so much fear after the stroke when I moved to the townhouse, I lived alone, had no dogs or anything then. I had so much fear because I was not recovering physically as fast as I wanted to or thought I should. And I was so afraid I was not going to be able to take care of myself and, you know, live independently. And one day the fear was just so bad, I didn't know what to do. And I spotted my little red King James Bible. And it's the one that I read from and did all my highlighting in. And I grabbed it and I went and sat down in what I call my prayer chair, my wooden rocker. And I went to Psalms. And I had a lot of different psalms that I thought were pretty that I had highlighted. And I read every single one of them out loud. It took me 30 minutes. And when I finished that, this great peace just filled my soul. And it just felt like, and nothing had changed except I wasn't afraid. The fear was gone. I highly recommend doing that. Highly recommend. Read your favorite psalms out loud. Or your favorite scriptures, Psalm 23 and 91 included in that. Because when you read them out loud, you are making a decree of God's promises over your life and your situation, which will send the devil running. Can I just tell you that? There's a woman listening to this podcast right now. You're kind of young. I'd say you're probably 30 or so. You have gotten some kind of a bad diagnosis and you are scared. Young lady, let me just tell you that the Lord says this right here is what you are supposed to do. He wants you to find the scriptures that speak to your spirit and read them out loud. He wants you to decree over your life the way it is going to be and not listen to the devil. He said, stop listening to his lies. He is lying to you, and that is not the outcome I have planned for you. That is not the outcome that God says He has planned for you. The devil's trying to tell you you're going to die or something like that. I don't know what your diagnosis is. But the Lord wants you to decree the victory. He wants you to decree that you are healed by the stripes of Jesus. He wants you to decree peace and prosperity and all those things over your life, because He said the devil's lying to you and you've been listening to it. Stop listening to it. Okay, another thing that you can do when you're facing the storm, if your emotions are running wild, command them to settle down and line up with the word of God in Jesus' name in the first place. Emotions, I speak to you now in the name of Jesus. I command you, line up with the word of God. I command you to settle down right now. And they will. Command them, okay? And this will help you to remain calm so you can think and act clearly in what is happening, okay? Another thing that used to help me a lot when I was real upset or going through something really painful is I would journal. I'm a writer, so I express my emotions in writing. If you're a person who does music, like my friend Nicole, she is a worship leader and she composes. This woman's talent is amazing. She can sit at the piano and just think about something and compose a whole song. And it's gorgeous. She has a bunch of songs she's composed. She's supposed to be releasing a CD. Nicole, if you listen to this is a reminder. People are waiting on that. When she releases that, y'all really need to go check her music out. It is so beautiful and it is so calming. This peace just comes over you when you listen to her music. It's so pretty. So she can just sit down at the piano and it just, comes out of her like she turned a faucet on. The music that you hear on my ads about my books at the end of the podcast, if it's piano music, she composed it. 99% of that is music that she composed. So I used to write in my journals. Whatever you do to express emotion, if you're an artist and you paint, do that. If you're a music person like Nicole is, play music or sing. I'm a writer, so I journal. And when I would be going through something really hard like that, a lot of times I would pull out my old journals and I would read back over them, because it would stir up my remembrance of the times God came through for me before and rescued me in those storms or got me through the storm. Sometimes he calms the storm. Sometimes he calms his child. But either way, he gets you through it, so it don't matter. We may not know what to do. We may not know why something happened. But one thing remains unchanged. God is still God. And he should still be our God, no matter whether things go our way or the way we'd have preferred or not. He's still God. No matter where we are, he is still God. And though we cannot see how things are going to work out, or maybe even how we're going to breathe for the next 5 minutes, our pain may be so bad, but he does, and his promises are still true. And if we will honor him with our praise, and by that, honor him with our trust, maybe in time he'll give us understanding of what has taken place. Y'all remember the story of Jehoshaphat and his army in 2 Chronicles 20? I've talked about it many times. They were facing an army that was basically 4-1. There were 10,000 people in the other armies coming against them for every 2,500 in his. I don't remember the exact numbers. They faced overwhelming odds. It was a certain slaughter. And they fought with swords back then. So if somebody came at you, you were fixing to get, sliced and diced. The only weapon they raised in that fight was the weapon of their praise. They never took their swords out of the sheath, y'all. The only weapon they raised was the weapon of praise. That should tell you something about how powerful praise is right there. In some of the battles that we fight in these end times, that may be the only weapon we have, the weapons that God gave us. Here's something that will make it a lot easier for you to praise when something bad happens. Remember this. God owes us no explanation. If he gives you an explanation for something, he has shown you great favor. He owes us no explanation. He will keep his word, but he's obligated by nothing else. Romans chapter 9. Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. In the end, no matter how well or awful your trials turn out, you can be sure of this: your suffering is not for nothing. We don't learn from our good times, we learn from the bad ones. Suffering produces endurance. Suffering also brings understanding in ways that good times never will. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. That's Romans chapter 5. Know ahead of time what you want to do, when you encounter a storm in your life or an extremely painful event, because these things will come, and they will come more and more often as our time progresses towards the end. Remember the power of praise to bring God into your situation, and keep on shining for Jesus after the storm passes. Light up by trusting Him enough to praise Him and drive out the darkness wherever you are. Let Him shine through you. Let people see Him in you. That's the only way we can affect the darkness that is coming. And whatever is happening, remember, just praise Him. That's all I have for y'all today. Thanks for listening. Jesus bless you. You have a great week. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination. Have you ever gone through a time in your life where suddenly it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are a time of great uncertainty and change. There are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many experiences, the Lord spoke to me to write the Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led to the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. It's by Glenda Lomax, and it's available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com. Amazon.com, The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax. Do you know someone who is going through a wilderness season right now? Have you heard about The Wilderness Companion Study Guide? It's a workbook with 41 lessons, including new stories from the wilderness and questions to help you work through your own wilderness experience. Read each lesson, then complete the questions to apply the lesson to your own wilderness experience. Get your copy of the Wilderness Companion Study Guide today and get one for a friend. Available now on Amazon.com. The Wilderness Companion Study Guide by Glenda Lomax. Available on Amazon.com. Sidewalk Flowers Volume 1 is a collection of 58 short inspirational readings that will uplift, comfort, and encourage readers from every walk of life. Sidewalk Flowers includes inspirational tales and topics taken from the lives of everyday people who exhibited extraordinary wisdom, kindness, and courage while traveling the sidewalks of life. Get your copy of Sidewalk Flowers Volume 1 today, available in print and new audiobook. Sidewalk Flowers Volume 1 by Glenda Lomax, available on Amazon.com in print or new audiobook.
There is no one on earth who has not been wronged at some time in their life. Everyone has a story to tell. Everyone has been hurt by someone. The pain you have suffered does not make you special. It is what you do with that pain that sets you apart. Life can make you bitter or it can make you better. You choose. The only difference between the two is the I.